You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you joined us. I am talking to you from the dining room of the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island during the 2023 Mackinac Policy Conference, our annual trip north to get business, political, and philanthropic leaders together to talk about all of the challenges that we have in Michigan, maybe come up with ideas that they couldn't when we were back home. I met Brian Calley the first time when he was a state rep here in the state of Michigan from a very different place than where I'm from in Detroit. He went on to become the lieutenant governor of the state under Rick Snyder and is now running the Small Business Association here in our state. He is one of the people that I kind of use as a temperature check. He's a really reasoned and smart guy who's really thoughtful about the things that we experience and the challenges that we have. I'm really glad to be sitting across now from Brian Calley. Brian, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thank you so much, Stephen. Great to be with you. And it's nice to every once in a while be dug out of my political grave to come in and have a conversation.
Okay, you put it that way. I did not. Let's make that for the record. I don't think it's a grave. I think it's maybe a temporary hiatus. Let's call it that.
You know, I do love working with entrepreneurs. In fact, I've taken to association work, but particularly the constituency that I work with, entrepreneurs and small business owners. I think I might just close out my career here.
Really?
I love it that much. It is, it's kind of like the best of all worlds. I'm still involved in politics. I still get to kind of scratch that itch, but it doesn't rule every waking moment of my life.
Yeah.
And it's a place where pragmatism and an attitude of bringing people together, solving problems, without respect for where in the political spectrum that particular issue lies, is not just accepted, but expected. And so it makes it a very comfortable home.
Yeah. So let's talk about the business climate and the small business climate here in the state of Michigan. Most people I talk to say it's improved over a longer period of time than just the last few years. But they always have additional concerns, things that they feel our political leaders could do to make it easier to start businesses in our state, and then, of course, to sustain your business over time. What if you were looking at us from the outside? What would you say are our strengths and our weaknesses?
Well, when you think of the status of where Michigan small business is today, we do see more startup activity and more small businesses surviving into maturity than we have in the past, and this has been growing, but it especially became true in the 2 years following the pandemic. So people seem to have turned to entrepreneurship as a way of life more since the pandemic than before.
That's actually really interesting because it's not what I would have predicted.
You would think it would be maybe the opposite, although it's not unusual during times of uncertainty for people to want to take more control of their lives or life is short and I'm just going to go for it. You know, there's probably a lot of different reasons. One that's kind of a new factor is the remote and flexible work environment that many people find themselves in. People can start small businesses as side gigs and not give up their W-2 jobs like before would have been required. So I think there's a lot of factors, but we are seeing record new small business starts, and it's sustained. It went higher after the pandemic, and month by month, it has stayed higher. At the same time, we also see the 5-year survival rate going up. And that 5 years is an important mark. That's when you really get to the staying power. Mm-hmm. You reach maturity, you're out of the startup phase, and poised and ready to grow. So those two things together are pretty powerful. More new small businesses and more of them surviving is why we find ourselves in a position where Michigan is stacking up very well compared to the rest of the nation on the increase in small businesses open and the revenue derived from small businesses. It's good because there's a resiliency that comes from the diversity in small business. You don't have all your eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. It's every industry you can think of across every community in the state, and it's a buffer, if you will, to economic ups and downs. Like we haven't had as many extremes here as we have in the past because of more diversity in our economy. that's a, those were all strengths. So what I kind of, you know, it's funny, like usually people have this big, long agenda, do this, 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 and this. My list is more a list of don't do this, 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 you know, kind of more of keep it the same, like the, it's working.
Stability.
How it is right now is working. And especially when we put our scorecard report, our entrepreneurship scorecard report last week, and 19 years worth. So we've got a really cool track record and kind of looking at this closely from not the overall economy, but the entrepreneurial economy, the small business economy. And we have, in spite of all the challenges, have had a couple of strong years. And it represents the time that we had divided government, where frankly, not a lot changed.
We couldn't get anything done, right?
Exactly. So, you know, from a political standpoint, we think, oh, that's so frustrating. But if you're running a business and taking on risks, the idea of just knowing what the landscape is and feeling comfortable is not going to change, that's actually a pretty big competitive advantage.
Yeah, yeah. So I wonder what you make of the specific challenges and how they are different, I guess, for small businesses in rural parts of Michigan, which is a big part of the state, and then in cities, which is also a big part of the state. They aren't the same. It's not the same to start a business in Houghton as it is in Muskegon or Detroit. What are those differences, and how does SBA try to help people navigate them?
Yeah, the difference is there are some things that new small businesses and early stage businesses have in common, and then, of course, there are very unique challenges that exist as well. How well a local community is equipped to support that small business and a tendency to buy and think local has a lot to do mm-hmm. with how difficult a path a business might take. And it's also access to employees that are prepared and ready. So in areas where you have strong workforce development that's not really aimed at one company, but rather for the population, areas that generally have growing populations tend to be able to staff up easier than mm-hmm. areas that have stagnant or shrinking populations. And so those types of subtle differences can really make the difference in a newer enterprise, and it's pretty fragile in those first few years. Another area that in the past has been pretty challenging, just access to capital. You know, how do you get the money?
Always. With small businesses.
But I would say that in urban areas, it's actually more acute than mm-hmm. In rural areas, and it's not totally obvious why that is. When a new business starts, it's risky across the board. It's very risky, and it's why kind of traditional financing arrangements do not. You can't always check all the right boxes mm-hmm. in order to go through a bank or a credit union when you're starting up a new company. And so what are the other non-bank options that are available? And it just seems like there might be fewer options in more densely populated areas. Mm-hmm. And that, on its face, it seems like it should be the opposite, doesn't it? I mean, and yet that's not the case. But I do think that the part of it is just a matter of when you have an area that has a higher poverty level, just the capital that's out there and available is constrained.
Yeah.
It's limited.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just the size of the pie is different proportionate to the population.
I do want to talk politics with you as well. First, the politics of now, I guess, in Lansing, Democrats are in charge of both houses of the legislature and the governor's office for the first time in a really long time. From a business perspective, talk to me about the first 5 months of those politics.
Yeah, it's been a little bit rough.
I knew you were going to say that.
In terms of the... You know, just a lot of things, you know, is kind of a quick pace. And so the processes give the normal process, engagement process, has given way somewhat to expediency of like, you know, I think a recognition of the time periods when like the stars align for one side to like do a bunch of things doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. So yeah,
take advantage and do as much as possible. What I do see starting to happen now, though, is that pace slowing a bit with at least a spoken desire to get back to higher levels of engagement and negotiation. I think that would be very positive. You know, there's one area that I would love for government to be inefficient in, and that is making laws. This is our system is kind of designed to be inefficient, you know, designed to be difficult to make
things
happen.
This is the conservative in you really coming out right now.
Yeah, well, it is a, you know, it's one of those areas where, again, getting back to that stability.
Yeah.
Just having having things be predictable and reliable, and you know, it's easy to say when you like the status quo, right? Acknowledging that, but that when it comes to the overall operating environment, when I look at the numbers and look at the success of small business overall in our state, it's hard to argue against generally keeping things stable compared to how they are today.
Yeah. Are there things that are on your list of hope fors, I guess, with small business that you'd like to think this legislature and governor, even though they are of a different party, might actually entertain and pass?
Well, I certainly am happy about the focus on population growth. Yeah, it is our biggest long-term challenge.
For everyone here it is, yeah.
Yeah, it is a, and it's one of the things that defies, you know, a handful of quick solutions. This is the sort of thing, fits the analogy where you plant seeds today and you'll never enjoy the shade of the trees that grow later because of the work you're doing. But this is the type of stuff where if everything is done right now, we'll see 10 and 20 years from now a change in our population. We will not see success. We are a shrinking state. Success first is to stop shrinking. But I could see 4 or 5 years from now, if our state just didn't grow at all but didn't shrink also, people looking at it like somehow, oh, it's been a failure. But right. Actually, before you can start to grow, you have to stop shrinking.
Right.
And I think it will take a sustained effort. Our view on issues that are important is pretty wide. Yeah, there's basics like housing that matches the population's income levels. Like that is an absolute necessity. Broadband infrastructure, high-speed internet access would put very, very high on the list. And then our K-12 system. We do have to have more success in our education system because each graduating class for the next 10 years will be smaller than the one before. That's baked in. It's going to be that way. So one way to kind of buy us a little bit of time to get past the population challenges is to make sure that more of the people that we already have going through the system are ready to compete and win in a 21st century competitive global economy.
More politics. You and I had a conversation, I think it was sometime last year, maybe the year before, where I think we're just standing around talking, and it dawned on me that we were pretty close to a gubernatorial cycle here. It wasn't coming up soon, but it was coming up. And I stopped and I said, you know, your name has not been anywhere in the discussions about possible candidates, and yet you were twice elected lieutenant governor of a Republican lieutenant governor in this state. I've had that conversation with lots of other Republicans, people who'd won statewide office as Republicans who didn't feel like they had any shot inside the Republican primary for governor. I wonder what you make of this party now, as somebody who not just was a part of it, but was part of the leadership for a long time and not that long ago. Do you feel like you have a place in this party?
I doubt that I could get nominated for a statewide on the statewide ticket in the Republican system today. And that's not to say I haven't, you know, I'm the same person, generally the same positions I already had.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I've changed some, but I haven't changed that much. And so, yeah, the whole thing has kind of moved to a place where there's kind of... I'm a results-oriented person, so if I'm working on something, if all I can do is make something bad less bad, I want to do that, right? That's the and if I can make something good happen, that's awesome. I don't like to walk past problems, and that means compromise and negotiation, and that stuff just seems like way out of style now. compromise is a betrayal that. Bending over backward to find common ground. There's different coalitions. Even during the Snyder administration, when we had Republican control of both branches of the legislature, there were very, very different coalitions that came together on different issues that included both sides of the aisle. Whether it was a road funding package or Medicaid or right to work. Or autism insurance reform, those big issues moving through, the majorities that voted to make things happen looked radically different one from another, and that's my style. I think that's a sign of a healthy process when the governing majority changes depending on which issue. But I also take an attitude of like we can disagree. On an issue, but maybe we're gonna need to get together on the next one. And so, not taking disagreements personally is important. Our system, people seem to take everything personally now, and every issue, die at the end of the sword on this issue. And if we're not together on this, then we're you're dead to me. It doesn't even compute with me. It's a recipe for. Really for soundbite governance and where the deliverable is getting a zinger in instead of like an outcome
right.
that
Owning
matters
the
to
other
people.
Side right in some way
yeah I don't get that I it's just I'm not built for it and so that's why I love doing the work that I do now which I'm still involved in the political system but it's working on policy with whoever is willing to work on it. And it doesn't really, the political party is not even a factor in the discussion now. And I know that like a lot of the goals that we have in childcare and education and infrastructure and transportation and in addition to things like business taxes and regulations, that there are going to be very different cohorts of people that I'm working with on each of those issues.
Yeah. Okay. Brian Calley, head of the SBA here in Michigan, former lieutenant governor. Always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks, Stephen. Great to be with you again.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue with more from the Mackinac Policy Conference on Mackinac Island.